Our scripture reading is from Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. Owe no one anything
except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. But put the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord.
How many of us have some kind of debt hanging over our heads? Right? Mortgage, student loans, car loans, credit cards, maybe an old medical bill. Many of us spend a good portion of our lives paying off debt. And that debt feels like a burden, not a blessing. But here in Romans chapter 13, Paul again turns our ideas upside down and he tells us about a debt that we're never supposed to pay off. And that debt is the continuing debt to love one another. He says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. So this morning we're going to explore what it means to live as people who are shaped and driven and sustained by love. Not the vague, sentimental, sappy kind of love, but love that comes from Christ. Love that fulfills God's will and that transforms the way we live. Right here in our community and in our homes and in this church. So Paul begins by talking about the foundation of love. The foundation of our love is what God has done for us. Now, we look back over what we've studied over the last year in Romans. He tells this sweeping story in chapters 1 through 11 as he lays out his theology. He says, we are lost in our sin, hopeless. And God sends Jesus to be our Savior, to pay the price for us. And we have new life with the Spirit living in us. This is the why behind our love. We love because God first loved us. We have been loved so thoroughly, so undeservedly, so incredibly, and we want that love to pour out of us. In Romans chapter 5, Paul said, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So if love is the fulfillment of the law, then grace is the foundation of that love. Think about a well. There's so many stories in the Bible about wells. Why is that? Because the Israelites were a nomadic people. They moved from place to place, and sustenance was really important. Food and water was essential. And so there were these wells dug deep into the earth where they could bring up water to sustain their lives. And we know that God is a deep and never-ending well. And unless we draw from that well, we can never love the way we need to. We have to draw from that unending well of Christ's love. So Paul continues the unending call to love. He says, let no debt remain outstanding except that continuing debt to love one another. Hopefully, most of our debts get paid off eventually. Right? That's the plan, is to pay them off. But this one remains. Paul says it's not supposed to ever be paid off. Why? Because it's not a transactional kind of love. It's not the kind of love where I did my part, I did my thing, I'm done now. It's an ongoing, continuing, relational kind of love. It's an ongoing expression of God's love to us that we pour out to others. We owe love not because people deserve it, but because we have received God's love when we didn't deserve it. It's a call to joyful responsibility. This is not a guilt trip from Paul. This is a call to a purpose-filled life. He continues. He says, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, Paul's not being poetic here. He's being very precise. He's saying, if you want to know what God's law is aiming at, it's right here. Love one another. And that's a beautiful picture, isn't it? We can get so caught up in the rules. And Paul dealt with this over and over and over in his letters, especially this one. The Jews wanted to make sure that everybody was following all the laws. They wanted to make sure that everybody was following the right rules. And sometimes we get caught up in that too, right? We want to make sure that everybody's following the right rules. You know, if you're gonna be here, you got to follow the rules. And Paul says it all boils down to this. It all boils down to love. Love doesn't covet. Love doesn't steal. Love doesn't commit adultery. Love does no harm. If you love, then you don't have to worry about the rules. Because you're going to do the right stuff. If you're loving, you're doing the right stuff. How many of you are members of an HOA, a homeowners association? Anyone? You got a few? Right? The HOA, it's there. It can be a good thing, right? It helps you make sure that your neighbors don't have their broken down car in the front yard. And there's all different rules about what you can do on your property and how your property has to look like. Sure nobody paints their house fuchsia. But there's always that person in the HOA, isn't there? That one person in the HOA that has memorized the handbook, and they want to make sure that everybody in the neighborhood knows that they've memorized the handbook. And if you ever do anything that doesn't align with the rules, they're going to come knocking on your door, and they're going to remind you that they've memorized the handbook and that you're doing something wrong. It is possible to do the right things, to follow the rules, and to not love your neighbor. Paul's saying it's not about following the rules. It's about loving one another. The rules all fall into place when you love well. It's not about, did I do this right? Did I follow all the rules? Did I dot all my I's and cross all my T's? It's, am I loving well? And then he kind of changes his theme here, and he talks about the urgency of love. He says, besides this, you know the time. The hour has come for you to wake from your sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness and sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. So he's shifted to this night and day imagery. He says, wake up. The alarm of the Spirit is ringing. It's calling us to live as people of the day. The world is full of darkness, selfishness, apathy, gossip, division. And Paul is calling us to live differently. We are called to live as people of the day, people who are already being transformed to be more like Christ. We have amazing sunrises here, right? The orange glow starts to come over the horizon and things start to brighten up. And what happens? We see that sunrise and we see that brightening of the day and we start to get moving. We get out of bed and we start going. We make our coffee so that we can get moving. And we start to live as people of the day. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying the sun is rising. So live as people of the day. It's not just about morality. It's about our witness. The world is watching. What will they see? Paul closes with this verse. He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Another translation says, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the heart of it. You can't fake this kind of love. You can't pretend. It's a kind of love that can only come with Christ's help. It can only come when we put on Christ. Putting on Christ means daily surrender, daily renewal, daily dependence on Him. Think of putting on a uniform, right? Many different places of work require a uniform, right? The military has a uniform, the police have a uniform, firefighters have a uniform, doctors and nurses have uniforms. A week or so ago, I was at Walmart, and I made the mistake of wearing a blue shirt. And somebody came up to me and said, excuse me, can you help me find? I said, I'm sorry, I don't work here. Right? Don't ever go to Target with a red shirt on. Right? Because the uniform signifies something. It signifies that you are a part of that business or that organization. And in return, the company expects that you will behave in a certain way and that you'll do certain things. But you put on that uniform, and now you're taking on that role of the employee or the member of that organization. Paul is saying, put on the uniform. Put on Christ Jesus and act like it. I don't know how many of you are familiar with De Colores or A Walk to Emmaus. It's a weekend experience. And I participated in one of these 30 years ago. And it was an incredible experience. And afterwards, I helped lead a couple of these groups. And you go into a church and you stay in the church for the whole weekend. And there's different talks and classes. And you're just learning and digging deeper into Scripture and what it means to live and follow Jesus. And you can only go to one of these weekends if somebody invites you, somebody who has gone before. And the guy who invited me, his name was Don. And at the end of the weekend, there's a time where you can share testimonies. And at the end of those testimonies, you get a cross. And there's kind of a tradition that you make your own necklace to wear with your cross. And it's a reminder of the weekend, what you experienced, and it's a outward symbol of who we are and who we serve and who we belong to. But when Don got up to give his testimony at the end of the week, one of the things about Don is that we never saw his cross. He always wore it under his shirt. And he said, I want people to know that I'm a Christian without having to see my cross. I want them to know that I'm a Christian just by the way that I live and the way that I act. I want it to just to show. I don't want to have to wear a cross. I wear my cross, I love my cross, but I don't want to have to show it for people to know that I'm a Christian. That's what Paul is talking about here. He's saying, put on, clothe yourselves with Christ Jesus. And when you do that, you're empowering yourself to live in that love, to show that love to others. Let's circle back to that idea of debt. We said earlier, right? Most of us hope that we get all those debts paid off. That's the goal. The goal is to pay all those debts off so we can have the freedom of not having to pay those. But Paul tells us that this debt of loving one another, we're supposed to keep paying. We're never going to pay it off. We're never going to love another enough. But we keep paying it with joy and with humility and with purpose because it reminds us who we are and whose we are. In Galatians 5, verse 6, Paul says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. So our call to action today. What would it look like this week to approach your family, your coworkers, and your neighbors with the mindset, I owe them love? I owe them love. How would you approach the people in your life differently? And what might change if you woke up each morning and prayed, Lord, clothe me in Christ today. Teach me how to love. How would you act differently? How would you behave differently, knowing that you were clothed in Christ Jesus? Let's be a church that's not just known for being friendly. Let's be a church that's known for loving deeply, actively loving. Let's wear Jesus well. Because love is not optional. And it's not abstract. It's the fulfillment of the law. And it's what the world is watching and waiting for. Amen? Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that we can continue to go back, and your word is like this deep, never-ending well that we continue to draw from and we continue to learn from. God, continue to teach us who you are and who you're calling us to be. That we can be your hands and feet to the community around us. That we can continue to show your love and to do it well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.